Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Junie Riddle hanging out this morning as well. We are live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Predators taking on the Seattle Kraken tonight in the home opener. We're going to be joined by Predators head coach Andrew Brunette coming up at 7:15. So looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on our phone and text lines, which, as always, are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by T.J. Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call T.J.'s team today to see why they're referred to so often. Joe, we're going to have Charles Robinson coming on at 8 o'clock. One thing I am interested to talk to him about, and you've been looking at it all morning, the Kirk Cousins part of this. Kirk Cousins was asked yesterday about whether or not he'd move his no-trade clause in Minnesota, and his response basically was, I'm not focusing on stuff like that right now. But I am interested to see if the Viking season continues to go downhill. Could they move Cousins? What would that look like? Could they move him this season? Would he waive his no-trade clause? And would whatever team that trades for him have to sign him to a new contract if that takes place? But your boy, Captain Kirk, maybe not on the move. We'll wait and see.
I am totally on board now. I am so excited about this. Save Kirk. Free Kirk. Hashtag free Kirk. Get him out of there. Anybody watch that game? He was absolutely last on the list of issues for the, and they almost won. I mean, they almost beat the Chiefs. But if they lose to the Bears, they will lose to the Niners. They will be 1-6. And the Vikings aren't going long term with Kirk Cousins. They've already declared that. So to me, there was a tweet. I don't know who was the tweet. Who had the tweet? It had four teams. Whatever, some NFL, you know.
Yeah, it was
account.
The Titans, the Falcons. Who were the other two?
Jets and Patriots.
Jets and Patriots. That's
so
right.
Jets, I don't buy. Here's the thing: Kirk Cousins has a no trade clause, right? So he's asked to waive it. That's why he was asked that question. I don't see him waiving it, except for a team that will at least give him like a 2-year deal after this, right? Like, why would you? Like, then okay, fine. No, I'm not waiving it, and I'll go to free agency
unless. And I don't know that any of those four teams that you just mentioned apply, unless he feels like if he joins one of those teams this year on an expiring deal, that he's got a chance to make the playoffs and win.
Yeah, but like if you look around teams that you know that might be interested, I do think that the Patriots and Falcons, the Titans that doesn't make sense. They just drafted Will Levis.
Yeah.
Jets, I think Aaron Rodgers is back next year, so I don't see why they're investing in it. And I think the Vikings will get something for Kirk Cousins from somebody. But the Falcons, Arthur Smith, everything they have going on running the ball, they're getting better on defense. You put Kirk Cousins there, dude, that could be really good.
I agree.
They're winning that division with him. And I think if you're him, you could look at that. You're not signing up for a rental and then we're going to win the Super Bowl. They're not going to be that good.
No.
But you could grow with that team and it could time up pretty well. I think that partnership between it's like Arthur Smith Tannehill partnership, and I think it's a very similar level of player. Maybe Cousins is a little bit better than Tannehill. But it's close, you know. But you can win. If Tannehill was in Atlanta right now, they'd win the division flat out. So I'm on board. Go Bears.
Got another texter that says, what has to happen during the course of the season, in your opinion, that would make the Titans make a quarterback change? At what point could that be? Is 3-7 the line of demarcation for you? We talked about this with Kuharski.
Yeah, we
yesterday.
Talked about this yesterday with Kuharski. So it's basically just comes down to at what point do you have to acknowledge it's not happening for you? So some of that has to do with, like, are the Jags going to go on a tear here and get some distance? And you're like, okay. I know if you really want to cling to something, you could sit there and say, well, the Jags were four games back at Thanksgiving last year and won the division. It is possible.
That
but
is true.
I think that makes sense. I think that makes sense. The 10-game mark, if you're 3-7 or worse, then – I think move on. You're not going to do anything. You know, you're not winning out from there. So something like that. But it's gonna be. I think at least that long, right? I mean, unless, but the thing is, let's say the Jags go on a run. It's still you're probably still going to be hanging around the wild card discussion, right? So, but if the Titans, like, if they're like 4-6 or better at 10, you're going to keep going until you're not in it. So, and I have no idea, honestly, at this point. I look at their schedule and I still see quite a few pretty good chances for wins. I see some good chances for losses, too, including at Miami and going having to play Baby Hands in primetime.
Mm-hmm.
Your Junie's boy, Baby Hands. You know, that's probably going to be an L. But, there's some wins, too. There's some wins on that schedule, maybe.
Well, so both the Jags and the Titans are 5 games in. Jags are 3-2, Titans 2-3. Next 5 games for the Jags. Home against the Colts, at New Orleans, at Pittsburgh, home against San Francisco, and then home against the Titans on November 19th. So those are your next 5 games if you're Jacksonville at that point. I mean – first off, it's kind of like the Titans-Colts last year. The Jags and the Colts are going to be done after Sunday. I mean, it's over. They've already played each other twice.
That's wild.
By October the 15th, which is just wild that the NFL continues to schedule things that way.
And but dumb.
On the road against New Orleans, and I don't, that's a Thursday night game too, by the way. And then you got on the road against the Steelers the next week, at home against San Francisco. San Francisco looks like the best team in the league right now. I say all that to say I don't know that I see Jacksonville –
Taking off
and just totally separating from everybody right now.
If they do in that stretch, then you need to look at reality a little bit. Yeah. No, that's a very – I mean, hey, man, Minshew and his mustache are coming for revenge, you know, this weekend. Minshew's going to be like, you picked Trevor Lawrence over me? How dare you? Well, here you go. God, I'm here for that game.
Well, look at this stretch, though. I mean, the Colts are 3-2. They're right there with Jacksonville in first place. If they win this weekend – they'll be there. The Colts have Jacksonville at home against the Browns, and then it's home against the Saints, on the road against Carolina, and on the road against New England. It's not a overly difficult stretch that the Colts have coming up. I don't know how good they are, and Gardner Minshew is going to be their quarterback in all those games, but it's not necessarily a super daunting schedule for the Colts coming up in their next 5.
I mean, they got the next Le'Veon Bell, so.
Well, apparently
so. I think they got a chance to make a run. Ryan from Chicago sends me an all caps, bear down, Rex Road, bear down.
He was texting me the other night about Jordan Love.
Oh, I bet he was.
Bears win one game. All of a sudden, everybody's fired
so
up.
So excited.
LD from McMinnville says, if three and seven happens, who plays, Willis or Levis?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that, you know, now that you get some separation from the preseason, you know, like the preseason, you're in the preseason and you have so many, like, it's like a different team. You know what I mean? It's like a different time. I'm not expressing this well. But I think it's got to be Will Levis, right? I mean, Will Levis is who this front office moved up to the top of the second round to draft to be the next quarterback. If it was going to be Malik Willis, and again, I think you have to keep an open mind on everything. The San Francisco 49ers are the perfect example. You don't know. You know, get them on the field, you don't know. But although I think Malik Willis stayed ahead of Will Levis in part because Levis was hurt, I think it should be Will Levis. I mean, I think you have declared by drafting him that you don't think Willis is the quarterback of the future and that you think Levis is the quarterback of the future, right?
I think. But like you said, got to keep an open mind.
Malik Willis has helped himself. Has helped himself. To me, I wasn't sure if he could stay in the league after last year. Now, to be fair, shouldn't have played. But he's helped himself. He's gotten himself to a better spot. I think he can be a backup in this league. I don't know that Malik Willis is a starter in this league. Will Levis is going to get the opportunity to be the franchise quarterback of the Tennessee Titans.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. We'll look ahead to the home opener tonight against Seattle. That is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live at Bridgestone Arena in advance of the Predators taking on the Seattle Kraken tonight in the home opener. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Burnett, presented by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, doing great. Opening day.
Absolutely. It's an exciting time here in Nashville. Andrew, the season gets started the other night in Tampa Bay. Obviously not the results you wanted. I thought you guys, after the first period, really played well in the second and third periods and gave yourself a chance in that game. Overall, what did you think of the season opener from your group?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know if it was nerves going into Tampa. Obviously, the success they've had over the years, I thought we were a little bit tentative early. It wasn't a very good first period, but I thought after that we went to work. Kind of got the nerves out and got to our game in the second, and obviously the third, kind of some bad luck on some penalties, some maybe lack of discipline on a couple, and a team like Tampa with that power play that's probably been the best in the league the last 5-6 years, you can't give them those opportunities third period. So that hurt us. It was a winnable game, but I thought we did a lot of good things and things to build on going forward.
Yeah, so Andrew, that top line obviously gets a lot done. Some tremendous plays. It seems like there's some really good chemistry there already. And I think no one's surprised to see Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly have good chemistry quickly. But you saw person with those guys. Why did you like that combination, and what do you think the potential is for those three together?
Well, I think right from the start, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, bringing him in, I think he fits with anybody. And I think Phil and him, obviously Phil's an elite offensive player. Ryan is a 200-foot, real cerebral player. And you could tell right off the hop that they really enjoy playing with each other. We lost Parse a little bit early in training camp, and he came in, and we injected him here in, and they really kind of meshed through the latter half of camp. But they play well off each other. Phil and Ryan, you could tell they enjoy playing with each other. They're looking for each other, and they've developed some pretty good chemistry. And then Parse is just a good, honest, smart hockey player that plays a 200-foot game and just a real worker for those guys, and he has the brain to play with them. So it's been a good combination. They played really well, I thought, in Tampa, again, especially in that second and third period.
Andrew, we talked with you throughout camp in terms of obviously implementing the new system and getting players up to speed that way. As a coach going into a season, what's your expectation for in terms of getting the new system completely in, and when you expect your players to fully have it down and to be comfortable with it? And where do you think you guys are in that process right now?
We're getting there. We're chipping away at it. I think as a coach, we don't really know the timeline. Obviously, in our business, we want it right away. But I think sometimes you have to be a little realistic. And for these players, it's a little bit uncomfortable, some of the things that we're asking to do in the system. And you know, it's good to be out of your comfort zone once in a while. So I think we're getting there. We're not there yet. And the process doesn't really have a timetable. I think as long as you see improvement every day, I think we're worlds ahead of ourselves where we were after that first exhibition game to where we are now. And we'll just keep chipping away at it. The guys are eager. They want to play that style. They want to learn it. So when that happens, usually you get there a little faster than you think you do.
And then, you know, the power play, Andrew, obviously the first one was tough. You know, you couldn't get really anything set up. But then I thought it really, you could start to see it come together quickly just in that first game. Where do you think things are with that moving forward from here?
Well, I think we're still trying to figure that out, too. Obviously, coming in as a new coach, and you're familiar with your players just throughout the league. But do you work with them day-to-day? Do you see them? Do you see their tendencies? Do you see where they fit, what their exact skill set is? You can look from the outside and think a certain player is this or that. But do you get inside and you start working with them, I think you really start seeing what his real strengths are and what his weaknesses and where is the best place for him and how do they fit and where is the chemistry. So I still think that's the work, too. I really like the first one. Obviously, we didn't do anything right in the first period, so that kind of fell in line to what we were doing. But I thought in the second, they got us momentum. That kind of turned the game around. First, we had a big kill at the start of the second. Then I thought the power play, the two we had, we had a lot of opportunities and chances to score. And then we got one in the third, which would have been a huge goal to put us up. But unfortunately, we got in a little penalty trouble, and we let that one go. But I liked it to start, but it working with a power play for as long as I've had, I know there's ups and downs. I wouldn't say it's real smooth, but again, we're gonna work on it to get it there.
Predators head coach Andrew Brunette with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Andrew, on your blue line, you've got guys that have played a lot of hockey in this league. What do you make of the depth that you guys have on defense, and I guess the options that gives you as a coach as you guys try to navigate through the season here?
Yeah, I mean, we have 7 NHL defensemen that have all played and all had good careers. So it's always nice to have depth. And then organizationally, I think if you look down the Delgazos and the Stastnys and the Molendykes and the Willsbys, Livingstones, coming, I mean, that's encouraging. So there's a lot of depth in that position, and there's a lot of experience. So I think it's a good combination to have. It was a very competitive training camp, not just on the back end, but with the youth of the third line and some of these guys vying for position. So organizationally, that's a great thing. Coaching wise, sometimes that, obviously you got some tough decisions and you're going to have some unhappy people, but our job is to keep them all motivated and pulling the same rope here for the team.
Talking to Preds coach Andrew Brunette, of course, big home opener tonight here at Bridgestone. And Andrew, we were talking earlier about UC Saros, obviously a great goaltender in this league, one of the best goaltenders in the league, a guy who has gotten a lot of work, in recent seasons. Do you have a plan in mind in terms of number of games or how you want to rest them, or is it just sort of wait and see how things go?
Well, you always have a plan, kind of like Mike Tyson says, till you get punched in the nose. So I think I think he's as good as it is in the game, and you love to see him in every game. But we got a very good backup in Kevin Lankinen, and that is just almost a very similar copy of Saros, where he's just such a competitive, hardworking kid, and he's very capable. So we're pretty lucky in that department. Obviously, with Juice, you'd like to play him every night, but we understand and we have a plan for him to get him at top of his game for whatever the workload is.
Andrew, Tommy Novak, seemingly last year, at least to us, on the outside with the untrained eye, comes out of nowhere, looks really, really good offensively. He's got the great goal on the other night in the season opener against Tampa Bay, where it just looks like he's got about the size of a coffee cup to put that puck, and he's able to put it there. What have you learned about Novak, the skill set that he brings to the table, and just what stands out to you offensively about his game?
Well, I've not known him, but I've seen Tommy being in Minnesota for as long as I was. He was a kind of a youth, I wouldn't say phenom, but you were aware of him, and you'd see him playing, and he was just highly intelligent, slippery, great hands, vision player, and then you kind of lose sight of him a little bit, and then he reappears, and I'm like, oh, there he is, and that's Tommy. I mean, he, credit to him, the resiliency he's shown to work through the American League, to work through injuries, to work through a hard time, and once he got his opportunity last year, he kind of took off. So I'm really, obviously, a credit to him for the grit and resilience he showed to go through the hard ways to get here. He's a very unique player. I think he's very slippery through the neutral zone. He's got sneaky hands. He's kind of a guy that you think you're, as the opposing team, you think you're going to knock him off the puck, and he just keeps, he always seems to have it, and he loses it, he gets it back, and he has an uncanny ability to make plays in tight areas. So he's a unique guy. I think for me, I'm not surprised at the offensive ability he has. We've got to work a little bit on the 200-foot game, but he fits in really nice. I thought the kid line all through camp were really good, and I thought that second and third period, they created some chances for us that we need from that line. So he's been a good, nice, I wouldn't say surprise, because I've been aware of him for a long time, but it's been fun to work with him.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. The kid line, as you said, obviously a high level of interest from fans for all three of those guys. But, you, of course, lines change during the season. Any of them could move to different spots and help out. How is it important for you, Andrew, to keep them together as much as you can this year to kind of build that chemistry among the three of them?
Well, you try to keep them as long as you can. They're young players. They're going to have ups and downs, and you hope that they keep at the path that they're on, because they're creating every night. So you'd like to keep them together, but other lines need some help too, and it's kind of a day-to-day, like the rest of our game, we're kind of day-to-day. So we'll see where it's going, but I really like what I've seen from them so far.
Well, Andrew, we appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning. We're looking forward to the home opener tonight and looking forward to talking with you throughout the year. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great talking to you. Enjoy the day. Thanks.
Absolutely. Predators head coach Andrew Burnett, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds home opener. React to what Andrew Burnett had to say there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are live from Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena. Preds taking on the Seattle Kraken tonight for the home opener. Thanks to Preds coach Andrew Burnett for joining us in the last segment. Really appreciate that. He'll be joining us a member of the coaching staff, joining us every Thursday morning at 7:15. So looking forward to that.
I think after that interview, he's probably going to pull rank and everybody else and be like, nah, you know what? I want to do the interview.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty good.
It had to have been scintillating on his side of things,
I mean, I'm
right?
sure he enjoyed every last second of it. Yeah. I'll ask him later today.
It was pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think it was too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. By the way, Nick Kieser, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Nick made his Preds Insiders, not debut, but Nick and I hosting Preds Insiders all season long. So our first show of the season last night. So keep tune into that Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock leading into Penalty Box Radio with Alex Doherty and Sean Smith. We've broken down kind of the Seattle game tonight. What were your takeaways from Andrew Burnett, that conversation? I think particularly interesting to see his approach with some of the kids, with Parsonen on that top line and then the kid line, as he termed it, which – maybe not as good as Nevan Jacino. We'll see if that can grow.
I was going to throw Nevan Jacino at them, but let's just see if they stick together for a while.
That's what
I was trying to get to, you know?
And we can name it, but I am interested to see how long those guys are kept together. Like, Evangelista and Novak have been together basically the whole time. Like, they played a lot of last year together, both in Milwaukee and here in Nashville, and now they're starting off this year together again. So it feels like everybody likes Evangelista and Novak together. Now they've paired Tomasino with those guys too. I'm interested to see how long that line sticks together. They did. I mean, Evangelista had a really good look the other night in, I believe, the second period. I still think 5-on-5, those guys can be a little bit better than they were the other night. But Novak continuing to just put the puck in the back of the net and produce on a nightly basis.
I thought that was really interesting. It was a really interesting breakdown from Andrew Burnett on Tommy Novak, who continues to be just one of those, you know, people sleep on. I mean, at some point, you can't say everybody's sleeping on him when we keep talking about how people sleep on him, right? Like, he's good. But I think that was one of the most interesting questions coming this year. Is like, is that who this guy is? And, you know, and what does that mean? Is there more ahead? He's one of those, it's like, you know, maybe you're underwhelmed a little bit, right? Physically by what he is, but hey man, when you've got that kind of feel, and as Andrew Burnett said, hands like that, and you're sneaky tough, you know, to get off the puck and all that stuff, he just keeps making plays. I mean, that goal he had the other night was I'd like him to do that again.
Yeah,
but that was pretty special. And, you know, the shooting percentage last year very high, so
it was.
So it's like you expect some regression, but he's a good player.
Tim on the text line says, every time I hear Burnett speak, it makes me eager for the team's future. Another texter says, love his demeanor. Great choice. So excited from this change. A little bit different tune from Predators fans this year with the coach.
I don't know if I can handle all this positivity, guys.
What are we doing on the text line? That's not how this thing went the last couple years.
Yeah, come on. You're supposed to be complaining about. Look, it is like – I don't think, like, demeanor-wise, whatever, you know, I think Andrew Burnett, I think he's an exciting young coach, got a chance to do something good. I still, like, I don't understand the just outright, starting with Jared, like, hatred for John Hines. But you know what? They have moved on.
They have.
So there you go. Also on the text line, here on the text line with Robbie and Rex Road.
Yep.
Do you think Parsonen will be a big player in Nashville? I'm a huge fan of Parsonen.
I am too.
I don't know what the ceiling. I don't know where it ends up with him, but I love that quote from Andrew Burnett. He's got the brain to play with those guys.
Yeah,
I thought that was a really interesting way to say it, and I thought so last year. I'm like, the thing about that guy is he sees some things out there that he quicker than other people do, along with like the big body and all the things you like about his game. I think he's got a real sense, like an extra little sense out there, and playing with those guys could be pretty fun to
watch. Well, look, you don't want to overstate it because, I mean, he's 22 years old, so there's still, I think, a lot for him to learn and a lot to figure out. I mean, he had 25 points in 45 games last year. And the unfortunate part about the second half of last year when they started trading people off and they brought up a lot of the young guys is what he missed a lot of that time. Like, he missed a lot of the games last year because he was hurt.
Yeah, it's too bad because it was a great opportunity.
Yeah, like, I would have been really interested to see what he did during that stretch. I love everything about him. I love the size that he has. I think he's got good skating ability for his size. You mentioned the brain, like the hockey IQ that he plays with. I think there's a little bit of edge.
Nasty.
Borderline cockiness there, which I like. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I think it's good. Like, I think he's got a little bit of screw you to him when he's out there playing, which I think the Predators have needed a little bit more of, especially from some of their younger offensive guys. So, I mean, look, he's 6'3". He's probably 220 pounds at this point. He's incredibly difficult to knock off the puck. I think he can be really good. Like, numerically, what does that mean? I don't know. Like, some of that's going to depend on where he plays. Is he going to stay with Forsberg and O'Reilly for the most part all year? Is he going to move up and down the lineup? Can he stay healthy? But ability-wise, I mean, you saw it on the goal the other night. He makes the play defensively to get things started. He gets away from the puck, moves well without it, gets behind the defense. Forsberg finds him. And it's one thing to get behind the defense. You got to be able to finish. And the nice, just smooth poise of sliding that right between the five hole is really good. So can he be a 30-goal guy? Can he be a 65, 70-point guy at some point? I don't know. But I like everything about what I've seen from Parson to this point.
Yeah. And I agree. There is a little bit of a – yeah, little bit of an edge for sure. So it's cool that he's getting this opportunity. I think, like you said – you know, Forsberg, O'Reilly, that seems to be like they're going to be together.
Yeah.
And Evangelista, the Novanja part of that line will be together. Novak and Evangelista.
Correct.
Thank you. And then we'll see. You know, maybe some moving around and things like that. And we'll find out just about Andrew Brunette as a coach and how. I mean, John Hines was, to me, a very reactive coach in terms of line changes.
Agreed.
Like, I thought. There was probably, you know, fair criticism of him, along with the fact that he's the worst coach in hockey history and should never get another job.
Yes.
We said
that Vrabel should be fired yet
in
today.
Nashville. Yeah, he's almost as bad a coach in hockey as Vrabel is in football.
Yes, thank you.
It's amazing.
Glad we got
historically bad coaches in Nashville, but in all seriousness, that's something we're just going to find out with Andrew Brunette as we move forward. And also, you know, he didn't want to specify on Saros, but just how he looks at that too. So. LD says, you know, I don't watch very little hockey, but the Preds coach sounds like a good guy, seems to have a good personality. Nice interview. I mean, let's not forget the interview side from us.
Yeah,
amazing questions.
Pretty
there.
Well done by us, too, I have to say. Look, the most intriguing part to me about this group right now at forward is the glass line. Because, look, people get caught up way too much in numbers. Like, that's the second line? It's like, well, it is, but it doesn't really matter. Like, right now they have a top line, and then they've got two other lines that I think are pretty interchangeable between that
middle
one
six
and the Novak.
They got
line.
A middle six.
They got a middle six, which is fine. I personally am not sold that playing with Nyquist and Sherwood is what is best going to set up Glass for success. That's just me. Now, I realize, I mean, somebody's going to have to play with him.
Yeah, so someone had, like, to get hosed in this lineup.
Right, like, you're going – and look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Nyquist and Sherwood. I just, at this stage of his career, Nyquist to me is like a 15-goal guy. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think he's around a 15-goal guy. Sherwood had a good year last year and became a full-time NHL player, but Sherwood to me is not a top-six player. So what does all that mean for Cody Glass? Cody Glass is going to get power play time. He got power play time the other night. You got to make sure you take advantage of that. But at some point, like, how do you get Cody Glass going where he can be more of a driver of your offense? Because I'm just not convinced that with who he's playing with right now that we're going to see that all that much. If you do, then great. But I don't know that I love the offensive capability from Nyquist and Sherwood playing with Glass right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's – that line is a reminder that, you know, that this is an incomplete team.
Correct.
You know, I mean, that's just what it is. It does enable, because I could see, I don't know, maybe like a Tomasino and Glass to be together at some point.
For Game-O, at some point if he gets in there, I think that'd be a good spot for him to slide into. But, yeah.
But it does allow for this Navangesino line, which I'm, you know, very interested to watch. I mean, frankly, look, you know, the top line looked great the other night, but that's, to me, the high interest. And I thought Evangelista, yeah, whatever, jittery. I don't know. He missed some opportunities, I thought, the other night. But I think, although I'm not quite as bullish on the Hockey Hall of Fame for him as you are, I think that he's going to do well. And, I could see him, you know, tonight being a guy who makes a – in fact, we got Preds picked a click later, so.
We do.
I'm just throwing that out there.
We'll see what happens.
He's a very intriguing player.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? I've got a question that I think Jared would hang up on the caller if you asked it on his show for y'all. So I think it's perfect for y'all's show.
Okay.
Did y'all see the commercial with UC Soros and Ryan O'Reilly?
I did.
Yeah, it was
good.
I did
see that.
So I was going to say, what did y'all think, and how long before the Preds start having a skid do the fans start yelling, Soros and O'Reilly need to start focusing more on hockey than the commercials?
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, but I can't say that I'd be surprised if I did see that. I thought it was good.
I liked the acting
from UC Soros in the Mass Mutual commercial.
Yeah, exactly. You get Soros to induce some laughs.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Both what I am about to say here might be a little bit of a hot take. We'll see. Like, depending on how they handle the contract part of this, like, I think UC Soros has a chance to be every bit as good here as Pecorino was. I do.
It's funny you said that, because I've been thinking about that as a writing potential at some point.
If you look at the numbers,
hot take,
he's kind of been better city to this point. But all that being said,
ooh boy. So in other words, you want to take down that Pekka statue?
I'm just saying,
UCN, is that what you're saying?
One thing that there is a little headline bit of a difference, in the post game quoting ability.
Yeah, but
there's some personality from you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a funnier commercial than I ever saw Pecorino do.
I agree.
Build the statue.
Construct it.
National radio host.
Construct it right in front of Rene where they're just looking at each other.
Yeah, there you go.
You can walk between them.
Or maybe
Soros,
like,
and
Pekka's like got him on, you know, he's like under his like a little baby cub, you know. National radio host, : Soros better than Rene. There we go.
I'm just saying there's a chance.
Put it on Twitter.
All things go well. We'll see. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
He's kind of ugly, though. With the Tennessee Oilers, gonna get
all. It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. A little Ronnie Dunn in the background. I love this song. I can listen to Tennessee Oilers theme song all day.
Yeah, and got some Oilers helmets.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah, I love that uni. Absolutely. Bring it back full time.
I agree.
So, I guess I'll ask you, because I thought about pivoting just because Junie's here and he's still running this Tannehill crap. Like, I wasn't going to do this, but then it's like, do I need to just yell at Junie for this rant? He's sitting right here and he's trying to run this, you know. First of all, he's trying to change his story. He said that Tannehill shouldn't have started. Now he's still talking about how the other teams have like a head start and, you know, Tannehill and Cousins, and I don't know all this stuff.
Well, I guess the Colts don't really have a head start much anymore, but yeah.
Well, I mean, Anthony Richardson has been playing. So, because I was going to yell again about Urban Meyer and update people on Urban Meyer and how I've angered many, many people.
I say you just get after Junie.
Just get after Junie?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's right here.
I'll mention both, because, I mean, basically I've said my piece. I mean, Here's the thing. So, Junie, the question he asked was in relation to Kirk Cousins. So, you know, of course, it's like it's very Jared-like of Junie. He's like, well, Joe, well, if you don't – well, tell me then you're being a hypocrite. Like, I'm not being a hypocrite. If the Titans are crap, they have a chance to trade Ryan Tannehill to the Falcons. I would also – if you can get something for him and you're punting in your season, great. But the Vikings are in a are still in a much more punt-on-the-season situation than the Titans are right now. Maybe it changes. If the Vikings lose to the Bears, they're going to lose to the Niners. They're going to be 1-6. Cousins is out of there. And I'm more – like Cousins not being with the Vikings after this season to me was even more like of a kind of a lock – than like Tannehill with the Titans. I mean, I think both, it's clear with both. I'm absolutely there with the Titans training Tannehill if they're bad. But what you don't seem to get, Junie, and you're welcome to chime in, is that the Titans, whatever you want to say about Tannehill starting, that's last offseason. So, you know, that's fine. You can criticize Rand, Vrabel, whoever you want to for them still having Tannehill. But if you do have Tannehill, yes, you're trying to win this year, and yes, you have a much better chance of winning with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback than anybody else. That's it.
Well, again, you know, you brought up my argument in the offseason, and I, you know, prefaced this to you and said that I would have moved off Tannehill, made him a post-June 1st cut, saved that money, used it to go out and actually get free agent offensive lineman to improve this offensive line. And with the weapons the Titans have, I feel like this offense could be a little bit more with some more protection, and that gives your young quarterback a better advantage at getting started. And with the argument that, you know, the Colts and Texans are already getting a head start with their young quarterbacks, I mean, outside of the Richardson injury, you know, that'll be to be determined whether or not he comes back or not. I mean, I flat out think that makes sense, and you did not.
We don't have a time machine. We also don't have a DeLorean, Junie.
Well, again, but you also didn't. You also didn't mention that I said that, you know, the deficit that Kirk Cousins and the Vikings are in. They're also in the NFC, which is a much weaker conference, and so I think it's easier for them to kind of go and make some changes and get back into the mix, rather as if the Titans get into a hole, let's say 2-4 at the bye, if they come back and they lose to the Falcons here at home and they're at 2-5, then that's going to be much harder for them to dig out in a much more talented AFC
than
it would be for Kirk Cousins in the NFC.
That's fine. I mean, I think 1-6 is 1-6, right? I understand the Lions.
The Lions were 1-6 last year, and they came back.
And they did not make the playoffs.
They were, yes. You know, they were very, very close.
They had a super exciting historic night of beating the Packers and it meaning
we're not
nothing.
We're not going to talk about
that game. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, look, man, if the Titans are bad, I agree the AFC is better. And if the Titans can deal Tannehill, then do it. But right now the Titans are 2-3 and have at this moment, a better chance of being competitive than the Vikings.
And again, my argument was never that, you know, moving to a younger quarterback was going to make them a better team this year. Obviously, Tannehill playing this year in particular, being a veteran, playing in the NFL for over 10 years, clearly he's going to be the better option. But the thing that I was pointing out is for the long run, for the long haul, it would be better for the Titans in the future to go to their young quarterback, maybe not have as good of a season. But again, that's what the Houston Texans and the Colts are going to be. They're not going to be that good. They're going to get a decent high draft pick.
They didn't have a starter who was good.
What are you talking about? Davis Mills was down there in Houston. What are you talking about?
I mean, those teams are coming from the bottom with no other
option.
He
is sticking his neck out every week, and you just sleep right over it.
Thank you. Junie's changing his story, right? Come on. Junie's changing his story a little bit. I think he's changing his story. I think Junie said that Levis would be a better option than Tannehill.
I never, never said that.
I seem to recall something like that.
I think you're changing your story.
I always said in the long run it would be the better. I'll go find it. I'll go find it for you, Joe.
I will say.
Can we hire Investigator Clouseau, Jared Stillman, and go through the even if it's not true, and like change it up,
yeah,
make it seem like it's true?
I will say, I don't think the Vikings are out of it yet. They've got the Bears on Sunday. Now, granted, Justin Jefferson's going to be out the next four games at least. And there's some speculation now with Jefferson, too, because he didn't get the contract before the season, that he just might be done for the rest of this year until they figure out what they're doing. So I don't know what's going to happen with him. But they have the Bears, and then they have the Niners. After that, it's the Packers, who are not very good, the Falcons, who are The Saints are okay, and then the Broncos. That's your next six games.
Yeah, if you're and they'll be facing Kirk Cousins when they play the Falcons. Well, that'll be great.
Maybe so. I mean, is the first game after the trade deadline, which could set up to be amazing.
That would be incredible, would it not? My God, that would be amazing. Yeah, like you said, no Jefferson. I mean, I don't know about you. I know you're really down on your Packers right now, but I like the Packers to beat the Vikings without Jefferson.
They got a lot of work to do offensively.
I mean, after they fire LaFleur.
At Lambeau, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Look, I hope so, but they're not going
to
do that.
Regardless, Junie, I think that you changed your story a little bit. But look, the bottom line is, you know, those teams are in different situations. The Titans are in a different situation. Right now, I would lean toward, based off the last performance, that at some point this year, Will Levis is probably going to get an opportunity because I think they'll be out of it. But I think it'll be a while. And it'll be probably past the trading deadline. But I will say, if they lose, if they come – I'm trying to think. The Falcons is right before the – right? The Falcons game is
Falcons
right before.
Falcons is right before the deadline.
Okay. Well, if they lose that game, then Arthur Smith may be shaking Vrabel's head and saying, send me Tannehill next week. Talk to you. Well, I'll talk to you Tuesday, buddy. You know? I mean, it may be something like that. But other short of that, they're going to keep plugging along, whether people like it or not.
Well, that's what makes this game Sunday so big. We've talked about getting to 3-3 by the bye week. If you drop to 2-4, then you've got Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, who Tampa Bay does not look like a pushover so far this year. I mean, I know it's Baker Mayfield, but they don't look like a pushover to this point. Jacksonville and then Carolina, your next six for the Titans, you know, including the Ravens game on Sunday. Like, it's really important to me that if the Titans are going to find a way to be in the playoff hunt at the end of the year, to me, you need to beat Baltimore on Sunday. You know, 2-4 is not a disaster. You can do it from there. But I really think you need to be 3-3 heading into the back half of the schedule after that, with a schedule that on paper gets a little bit easier. But, like, this Titans team just doesn't have enough margin for error. I don't know that 2-4 – they're going to be able to go on the necessary run with any sort of consistency to get their way in the playoffs after that.
Right. Now, then you're stacking losses.
Right.
John from Nashville backs me up and says, Junie definitely said that. Thank you, John.
Oh.
That's enough evidence for
me. Oh, yes.
Junie's looking for the tape right now. Junie's not even listening.
He's looking for the tape.
Surfing the internet on his phone.
He's looking for the tape.
I'm going to go find it, and I will prove you wrong once again.
you're going to go find when you tried to change your story before, which I heard before. That doesn't count.
Again, I will find it. I never said that a rookie quarterback was going to be better than Ryan Tannehill. I said they will always be better for the future.
Okay.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him for the next 30 minutes. Looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.